Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who to pick up in week 6? Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey B., Joe Pizzapia, that is Kyle Yates, and Scott Bogman's with us today. And of course, it's you, and we're breaking down the waiver wire for week 6 in the NFL. It's been an eventful week 5. Nobody from the Giants made it out, unfortunately. It was a pretty rough
literally,
day for them.
Literally.
Yeah, literally, figuratively, all of those things. And a host more injuries, which means, of course, now the waiver wire is open to some more players. There may even be a couple tight ends that we can help save you. For those of you who have lost Logan Thomas and George Kittle over the last few weeks, it's been a crazy season, to say the least. And we're going to have to continue to hit that waiver wire hard. Yates, we got another game left on Monday Night Football tonight as we're recording this. But still, I feel like there might be a guy or two left on this waiver wire that can still save some fantasy seasons. I don't think we've hit the wall with waiver wire yet. I think this week in particular might be that fork in the road.
Absolutely. And I mean, if you are sitting there and you're 1-4 or you're about to be 1-4 or whatever the case may be, don't give up just yet. This is a super long fantasy football season. So we're going to walk you through what you need to know here with the waiver wire heading into week 6. It's week 6 already. That is crazy.
And Bogman, in case you're, you know, looking at Scott Bogman and you're obviously watching us doing the college football show every week together, you're listening to us through the IDP show. After that loss for Texas, he just got so frustrated. He just went into the bathroom and just started manscaping. He is completely manscaped now. The beard is gone. Boggs, how are you holding up after that Texas loss?
More gray hairs, but, you know, at least it's something that I'm used to as far as being a Texas fan over the most recent history of the OU-Texas rivalry. But this one hurt, I got to say, man. I haven't cried about sports in a long time, and I was pretty close. Like, that was, Longhorns were up big and choked it away. So that was a rough one to see for sure.
Well, look, we're going to try to rebound, shake the dust off from this past week of football and look ahead, because that's what we do. We get back on the horse and we look ahead here. Before we do, I want to remind everybody, head over to fantasypros.com/myplaybook so you can get your hands on the waiver assistant. The waiver assistant there under my playbook displays all the ad drop scenarios that will improve your roster, and you can never stop improving your roster. It shows the available players that will improve your team by how much, and also moves that will impact your lineup. And of course, you can also see which pickups are valuable to your opponents as well. So in case you want to play a little blocking there, you might be able to do that also. And don't forget, while you're at my playbook, don't forget to check out the cheat sheet feature as well. The only premium subscribers can utilize the waiver wire assistant, but our cheat sheets in my playbook are completely free. Just sync up your league and get instant waiver wire and lineup advice by combining your favorite experts' weekly, rest of season, or dynasty rankings into one customizable cheat sheet. Both our waiver assistant and our cheat sheets are found at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. So make sure you check it out there. The running back situation, boys, never ceases to stop spinning. We constantly have more guys going in and out of the position, and it looks like a few more are going to show up this week. Let's start with the number ones for everybody going through the waiver wire at the running back position. Yates, I'll start with you. Who is your number one pickup this week at the running back spot, and how much fab are you willing to spend?
This one's pretty easy, boys. It's Darrell Williams, the running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now that we have word right before we started recording that CEH is going to miss a few weeks here, this vaults Darrell Williams up the waiver wire rankings. He is now a must add. And throughout the entire offseason, Dan Harris and I were talking about this and hammering this point home that as far as insurance running backs, these players that are probably not going to have standalone fantasy value, but do come with immense upside if the starter above them were to go down, Darrell Williams was at the top of the list. So in several leagues, I have Darrell Williams on my bench because of this upside if CEH were to go down, and we have that happen here now, and he is going to be out. So Darrell Williams is now the starting running back. Say what you will for what the Chiefs offense looks like and what CEH's usages has been. And Darrell Williams is a starting running back in one of the league's best offenses. So if you are going to ever spend up big on your waiver wire, you know, we've seen people drop significant amounts of fab for Elijah Mitchell, for Chuba Hubbard so far this season. If you're ever going to spend up big, this is the week to do it. So I am looking to get Darrell Williams on my rosters. 25% fab is the range that I am in. If I am desperate for a running back, I am willing to go up to 50%. Like, I am spending up to get Darrell Williams on my rosters.
I feel like this is the break the bank week because I got somebody I don't want to spend all my fab on. So get ready because we'll be throwing money around today on the episode. I can tell you right now.
Make it rain.
Making it rain here on the Waiver Wire Show. And I'll tell you what, guys, too. You know, you bring up that point about CEH, too. He got bent in half. The human body shouldn't go that way. That was terrible. Like, that could have been far worse, I feel like, for his entire body. The fact that he even walked off on the field at all was just an incredible thing. Yeah. So I'm just happy that he was able to do that. It's unfortunate he's going to miss some time.
MCL sprain for him. MCL sprain.
No, that's okay. So that's going to be how many weeks now for
They just said a few weeks. So 3-4, we don't know exactly what that number is.
All right, Bogman, with all of that news coming out just now, is it Williams for you as well at the number one or somebody else at the running back position?
No, it was Williams even before the news, too, because it didn't look good for CEH. So, I'm with Yates. You know, I think I would go, even if I don't need an RB, I think I'd go a little bit over the 25%, probably 35, 40%. But if I really need one, like Yates said, 50%. We got to start considering handcuffing again. It's something that we kind of throw away and roll our eyes at the beginning of most years, but it seems like a lot of these backs are having a tendency to go down and miss some weeks now. So we kind of have to maybe next year in the preseason pinpoint who they are. And, you know, you're going to want Saquon's backup. You're going to want McCaffrey's backup. You're going to want Madison if you draft Cook, you know, so all of these again, which is an annoying thing that we have to do for fantasy, but it might be necessary again.
So how much would you be willing to spend? Are you still going to 25%? You're going all the way up there. Okay. So we're going up to 50 as well. Now, is that if you are the CEH owner or just anybody?
It's if you're the CEH owner or if you have, you know, just backs Barkley that have or been bad right? or, you know, Miles Sanders has been terrible. There's a lot of turnover for these RBs. So, yeah, 50% for me. And, you know, even if you're not the CEH owner, he's going to be worth a ton in a trade right now.
Yeah, Williams was my number one as well. I was going into that 40% range, but look, desperate times call for desperate measures. More to that point you were talking about, I want to throw this out there. I host a fair amount of shows nowadays, so I don't remember where I said this or who I had this conversation with. It could have been anyway, or I could be making it up in my head for all I know.
A dream.
Shower conversation I had with myself. Right.
I'm hosting shows inside of my nightmares and my dreams. Here's my question for you guys. After this year, after last year, are we sitting here looking forward to 2022? Should we start to rethink a little bit how we structure the rosters? Should we go to a format where we play a quarterback, a running back, three wideouts, and then two flexes? Should that be the new look, the way the running back position is evolving, devolving, the injury quotient? Yates, what do you think about that concept? Because it's something that I've been tossing around a lot, talking to other people about. Maybe next year, I know some leagues I run, thinking about going that route because I feel like the NFL is evolving. And in fantasy, I always feel like if you're not evolving, you're kind of falling by the wayside. Is that something we should consider next year?
It's an interesting thought because as we start to see the workload running backs start to phase out, right? That was why Najee Harris was so valuable coming into dynasty leagues, coming into even redraft, was because we knew that he was going to get a massive amount of work. And that's rare. You have Christian McCaffrey, you have Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, obviously, Najee Harris. who else are we putting in that category as far as like significant amount of work each
Kamara
and every week?
This year.
Right. Yeah. Kamara. Yeah, apparently. So, I mean, like who like so the number of those running backs is fading. And whereas a few years ago we had a plethora of those guys, it was plentiful. So I just think, yeah, it's an interesting idea where we have that one running back and then we have the flexibility that can come with it to be able to do two flex spots where you can draft a running back, you can play a running back. But right now where I have like, I had to play Tony Pollard as my RB2 in fantasy this past week because I've just been gutted by injuries. It's an interesting idea.
I had to play Ty Montgomery in a league because I lost so many running backs. Yeah, it was not good. Not good. Bobby, what do you think about this? Like using that second flex position, and obviously you can use a running back there if you want, but kind of starting to fade away a little bit from the old school. Yeah, it's two running backs, it's a quarterback, it's three wide receivers, because, you know, once again, that I don't like that. I like when fantasy evolves with the game. It's why, you know, I've been the biggest proponent of Superflex for the last decade. I've been that guy at the front of the line here saying Superflex, that's where we should go. But is this the next evolution we should consider before we go into the number two running back and all that? I feel like this is the big meta conversation that when we're sitting here having waiver wire talk, talking about some of these guys and talking about handcuffing again, I feel like we're going backwards when maybe we should be evolving forwards into the roster construction instead of necessarily our philosophy of attacking older concepts of fantasy football.
I mean, I think it's the number two thing that should be thought of moving forward as far as adjusting rosters. Number one, obviously, being adding IDP instead of team defenses.
I thought it was going to be banned kickers.
That's already done.
After this past week, I was going to be 100% in favor of that.
I think we should, well, I mean, this is a long conversation, but yes, I'm with you as far as one running back goes and added flex. I'm more than fine with that. Please do that. I think expanded benches could help too for just drafting more, you know, dart throw running backs at the end of your draft and possibly handcuffs, which I know is going backwards, but it seems to be something that is necessary. And I've seen teams or leagues go to team running back.
That I don't like.
I mean, I think that is absolutely going backwards. You know what I mean?
That I think is terrible. That's like, you know, you and I want to get away from team defense, and now we're going to move from team defense to team running back. No,
But kickers should be getting, you know, if it's a 48-yard kick, 4.8 points. They should be scored like that. I don't know why they aren't. You know, 58-yard field goal is different than a 32-yard field goal. So give them 5.8 and 3.2 instead of 3 for all of them, or maybe 5 if they hit a longer one. I don't like that.
Let's take a quick break in the action, and Halloween season is upon us, and it's a scary time of year. The only thing more frightening is what's underneath your shirt and maybe inside those boxes of yours. Oh my goodness, what's happening in there? And it's spooky. Please, take care of yourself with Manscaped. This is what you do. You head over to manscaped.com. The promo code is Yates because he is the fantasy analyst at the forefront of all male grooming. Again, that promo code is Yates. And you manscape yourself a little bit with the Lawnmower 4.0, the Performance Package 4.0, the grooming tools that you need to be successful this trick-or-treat season. You can turn that bite-sized candy into a king-sized candy bar with just a little bit of manscaping. All you do is head over there right now, get 20% off and free shipping. And when you get that Performance Package, not only do you get the lawnmower, you also get the weed whacker, you get the ball deodorant, the crop reviver, all the amazing stuff over there at Manscaped. Again, the package for your package is the Performance Package. So don't scare away people from you. Make sure you head over to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping. That promo code again is Yates. Don't forget, say trick or treat, but hopefully it's more of a treat for a beautiful new Halloween and a beautiful new you. It's week 6 waiver wire. Let's get back. Bogman, who's your number two this week after Williams in terms of running backs you want to blow some fab on?
Devontae Booker, because Saquon Barkley went down, and it looks like it could be 2 weeks, but we know they broke out the kid gloves for Saquon at the beginning of the season, so 3 to 4 could be more likely. And he's not impressive, he's not great, but he's the guy that they have right now. So I think he could definitely be. We saw Peyton Barber dust it off and look pretty decent for a couple weeks when Josh Jacobs went down, so maybe Booker can do the same.
Hey, last year, Wayne Gallman was super useful for me in a bunch of leagues and from DFS lineups for about, I don't know, like a month and a half. I was loving some Wayne Gallman. He was a really solid, getting a touchdown every week kind of thing. How about you, Yates? Who's your number two on the running back board for you in week six?
Number two for me is Devontae Booker as well. Just because when we look at the rest of this list, there's some possibility, there's some opportunity, but Devontae Booker is going to be utilized at least for the next 2 weeks minimum. There is the potential that potentially the next month. Now we have to talk about Daniel Jones being out with a concussion. I think it's a long shot for him to play this next week, which means we're going to see Mike Glennon. As a Bears fan, Mike Glennon ain't that great. So I think Devontae Booker, the offense, probably isn't going to be doing a ton here. But again, we need to fill the running back spot on our rosters. I don't want to have to play Ty Montgomery as my running back too, or even rely on Tony Pollard in that way. You know, like, I think that Devontae Booker is going to see 12, 15 touches next week. I think that it's a tougher matchup up against the Rams, so I'm not expecting a ton. But again, it's just the volume. It's the volume that we need to chase as fantasy football managers. So Booker is a 15% fab bid for me. I am not, you know, I'm not going as crazy as Darrell Williams. You know, I mentioned potentially up to 50% for Darrell Williams. I said 15 for Devontae Booker, not 15. So
I can feel everybody adding Yates on Twitter right now. Right. You said 50. That's why I spent all that money on it.
15-1-5.
How about you, Boggs? What's the number there for
I think that's about Booker? Right. If you're desperate, 25%. But I'm not going much more than that for a 3 week, 4 week replacement tops.
All right. I'm in agreement here. I wish we could have more to discuss, but it seems very clear here that we're all just kind of in lockstep. There are these two guys at the top. And then after this, it gets a little wacky. My third guy is Khalil Herbert, just because. And I know that sounds kind of weird, but I wrote about this today when they ask us the questions at Fantasy Pros. We put out that piece every week about, you know, who's the tough one to gauge. And to me, he's the tough one to gauge, because if you just looked at the box score and you didn't watch the game, you thought, oh my God, these guys are splitting carries. It's really the way it went. Right. It was actually Herbert getting a lot of work in the second half. So is that just them managing Damian Williams? Is this Herbert getting a little opportunity here to kind of show what he can do and showcase that? And if so, does that work his way in maybe to more splitting carries and being something in this next month while we're waiting for David Montgomery? And then what happens when David Montgomery comes back? I don't know. All I know is running backs are dropping like flies and he looks okay. I think I will throw some money on him. That's it. Like, sometimes it ain't that deep in terms of the analysis, because you can't get that far, because none of us know what the Bears are going to do next week, let alone 3-4 weeks from now. So in terms of spend, that's where it gets tricky for me. I'm willing to go around 10% for him or something like that. I don't want to go too much because I think there's too much negativity there. But if I don't go enough, somebody's going to pick him up, and I feel like I might live to regret that. And I'm saying this out loud, and I feel like it's one of those cartoon bubbles outside my mouth. Like, I know it's going to come back. If I don't put enough bid on him and he goes somewhere else and I'm that David Montgomery person, I'm going to be pissed off somewhere 6 weeks from now. I just feel like that's going to be the case. Bogman, who is your 3, 4, 5? Is there anybody else that you're even targeting this week at the running back position? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, Herbert and McKinnon are the other two guys, you know, because a lot like this Khalil Herbert situation. And as you mentioned, I think it was one carry in the first half. And I know nine were in the fourth quarter because I just went through all the drive charts and looked. So it's a lot of sitting on the lead with the Bears. And who the hell knows what Matt Nagy is going to do, right? So, I mean, it's not like we have a good sense, but a lot like that situation in Chicago where they're using two backs, I think that McKinnon will get a little more work, you know, than Darrell Williams when was in his secondary role behind CEH. So McKinnon's another guy you can spend some fab on.
All right, Yates, what's the rest of the running back look for you? Do you have a 3, 4, 5? Do you just have a 3 and 4? What do you have this week?
Yeah, I've got actually Ramondre Stevenson sitting currently at number 3 because we don't have clarity yet on Damian Harris and the injury. Now, it sounds like, and per Ramondre Stevenson, that Damian Harris will be fine. That's what Stevenson said after the game. So I don't know if he's going to be out this next week. But if he does, then Ramondre Stevenson is worth an add just because of the workload that he could be walking into. So he's currently as a placeholder there at number 3 for me. But not spending big.
Dr. Stevenson?
Dr. Stevenson?
Since he's giving us injury updates. He's
Stevenson. Apparently. Yeah. Probably not his role. But yeah.
I heard he's actually replacing our injury analyst on Fridays. I heard.
Yeah.
Dr. Chow is now going to be out. Yeah.
Yeah. Dr. Stevenson steps up.
Right. So Ramondre Stevenson currently at 3 for me. Khalil Herbert is right behind him. But again, you mentioned it, Joe. Like, game script played a huge role in the amount of work that Herbert saw. And I liked Herbert coming out of Virginia Tech, but he was still a sixth round round rookie. You know, like, I wasn't expecting him to see the majority of the work here. So in a matchup where we're going to see the Bears play a little bit tighter, you know, the game's going to be closer, then I don't think Herbert's going to see a ton of work here. So I've still got him as a 5%, 10% bid. I'm not going and spending up for Khalil Herbert because I do think that this is Damian Williams' job. And then David Montgomery going to come back in, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks or whatever it is. Tariq Cohen lurking around the pup. Like, I don't think that he's not showing that he's progressing really well, but he could potentially come back into the fold. So I think Herbert is a dynasty guy that you're going to hold for like next year that is potentially going to complement what David Montgomery does. But I'm not expecting him to suddenly take over this backfield. And here's the crazy thing coming into this past week. Khalil Herbert was rostered in the same amount of leagues as Darrell Williams. That makes zero sense to me.
Oh, wow. All right, let's move on to wide receiver because I don't think I can stand to talk about that situation anymore. These guys want to empty the tank for Darrell Williams. I want to empty the fab tank for Kadarius Toney. That's it. I'm just going to do it. I watched that game start to finish. It was the Kadarius Toney show. And I was one of these people that I was a little skeptical a little bit too. You see, all right, well, what he did in college, does that really translate to this level? It absolutely does. I mean, speed kills. This is what the NFL is. He's got it. He's got all the moves. Now he's got all the opportunity to. Galladay got hurt in that game. You know, Shepard's been out. Slayton's been out. Saquon's out. He is literally their only weapon potentially left. And when we talk about league winners, right, guys you pick up off the waiver wire, last year it was James Robinson's because you knew he was going to be the focal point of the offense. I feel like Kadarius Toney, for better or worse now, he is the focal point of that offense. He's so versatile. He could do so much on the field. You can use him to rush the football. You could use him to catch the football. You might be able to use him to throw the football, for God's sakes. All I know is that I feel like this is the moment where if you're going to go crazy and spend, or if you are on the outs here, as Yates was saying before, if you're a 1-4 team after this week and you got nothing else to lose, take a shot. Because with bye weeks coming up, you might hit a couple W's in a row if you catch somebody at the right week. And Kadarius Toney having the right week, I think this is a guy that could change the complexion of everything. Bogman, I know Urban Meyer was a guy that talked a lot about him, but, you know, he likes people who've got a lot of good moves. And I feel like Urban Meyer definitely didn't get this guy, Kadarius Toney. I heard him on his speech about that. But the Giants did end up getting him. And I think it's hilarious because last night, Pat and I were talking on the show about the opportunity for Dave Gettleman to get him. Dave Gettleman gets all these draft picks, and yet Gettleman's probably not going to have a chance to cash in on any of this or live on any of this legacy. What are your thoughts on Toney? Nobody watches more college football that I know personally than you. What's the translation here? Are you emptying the tank for Toney? I'm assuming he's your number one also.
He's not my number one because I just think the running backs have so much value.
No, I meant at wide receiver.
Wide receiver. By a country mile.
Yeah.
I mean, look. Kadarius Toney, we knew was raw coming in, but the things that you saw on tape at Florida were, number one, world-class speed. And you're right. Urban Meyer wished he had that 4.3 speed right now to run away from his problems. But Kadarius Toney has it. And look, the motor is the other thing that you see from him. Now, he should, you know, leave the throwing haymakers to Wilder and Fury, right?
I will never understand what goes through a man's head when they're like, I will throw a punch at someone currently
wearing a helmet.
It's pure rage and adrenaline, and it's just so,
you don't even think about it. You just think, I'm going to hit this dude right in his face, right? So it's idiotic, and he should leave it to the pros and not do that. Thankfully, it seems like he's not going to get a suspension, probably just a pretty hefty fine from that. But motor and speed, and I think even if all of the running backs come back, you know, Galladay and Sterling Shepard and Slayton, like, Slayton's got to be the guy out. I think Toney is the better receiver right now. I think we saw that this Sunday, and I think he has a role moving forward. So, yeah, he's definitely my number one wideout, and it's by a large margin here.
Let's say, Bogman, you've got $65 out of 100 left. Mm-hmm. How far are you going to push it with him? You're going to go 52?
How much did you say?
I said 52. You want to just empty it? No, you don't want to go that far?
No, not that much. Not for a wide receiver who, look, we all love and think he should be active, but we're still talking about Joe Judge here, who does crazy stuff. So, I mean, he might have him running, 16 miles for punching someone and make him retire.
Watching the sideline, like watching the clip of that, you can see Joe Judge immediately as soon as you see Kadarius Toney, you can see Joe Judge on the sideline just going like, get him out. Like he's walking over to Kadarius Toney to pull him from the scrum. And he's just sending him like, get to the locker room. So
he's in the doghouse. So he has to earn it too, after already earning it. So I'm not going to go that far. But if I had $65, I'd go like 25 to 28, somewhere in there. Like if you think 25, someone else is going to bid that. I jump up to 28.
I'm going more ferocious. I'm going at least half of what I got left. And you know what? I think to a certain extent it's by default. That's where I'm at with Toney right now. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. And if I'm sitting pretty right now and I don't have to spend that, that's fine.
Sure, sure.
But if I'm, you know, I've got a 1 or 2 win team right now, you've got nothing to lose. Empty the tank. If nothing else, maybe somebody really wanted him even more. He becomes this incredible trade chip. He just had an incredible performance. Yates, who is your number one wide receiver this week? And I'm assuming it's Toney as well, but yes. I don't want to assume.
Yeah. It's Kadarius Toney. So yeah, we're 3 for 3 there with Toney being the top wide receiver ad of the week. However, I have concerns. I have concerns about what his workload looks like when we do have Kenny Golladay, who I think hyperextension on the knee, he played through it last week. I think he's going to rest it up. I think he'll play next week. So he'll be back. Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton, they were both trending towards. We got news that they were like doing pregame workouts before the game this past week, doing agility ladders. We could see them come back this upcoming week. So then the conversation just becomes, okay, what's the target share? How does it all break down? And especially too with Mike Glennon at quarterback. So I think Kadarius Toney is going to be fine. He's clearly my number one ad on the week as far as the wide receiver position, but I am not emptying the tank for a wide receiver who I have this many questions about. Now the change of direction ability, that like the speed, it's all on full display. On top of that, contested catch ability. We saw that this past week from Toney, which it was not on his college tape at Florida very much. So we saw that he's a very, very good wide receiver and I want him on my rosters, but there are too many question marks surrounding him right now for me to empty the tank like you phrased it, Joe. So I think Toney is in that, you mentioned like $65. How much am I spent? I've got like 15 to 20. Like that is the where I am looking to spend on Kadarius Toney, because again, I think that you have other wide receivers. I don't think that you have other running backs. And I think that that's where you need to dedicate and allocate your money to this week rather than chasing after Toney in a fantastic performance nonetheless, but there are a lot of question marks surrounding him.
I'm not even chasing after yesterday so much. I'm looking to the future, because all these running backs we talked about, their situations get cloudy in the next 3 or 4 weeks. As Montgomery comes back, as maybe Barkley comes back, as CEH maybe comes back. So all these guys are just more band-aids, more mediocre, more backup kind of guys. And I'm looking at Toney as he might be the best guy in the Giants period going forward. He might be the healthiest. He might be the most explosive. He might be the best playmaker. And on a team right now that doesn't seem to have any of them, or at least none of them healthy enough to play, that's where I'm going to spend if I'm going to spend up and break the bank. I'm not going to spend up for a 3 week guy. I'm going to spend up for a 10 week guy right now. That's kind of what I'm looking at.
Sure.
And again, it's philosophical. Everything that Bogman and Yates have said is correct and very logical. I'm going to take the other side of this. I'm going to go with the wide receiver because he's not a running back, because right now running backs keep dropping like flies. And next week we'll be back here and one of these guys that we picked up will be out and we'll be looking for the next guy after it. And it's driving me crazy.
See,
the wide receivers on the other part.
He's a piece of guy that would coach, that would punch a dude right in the helmet.
Oh, like,
you hear his passion
during that conversation.
I'm just going to throw all that logic out the window and go with what I think is right. And that's exactly what Kadarius
Toney. These hands look like they have at one point in time punched a guy in a helmet. I mean,
yeah, 100%. Come on.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Ultimate Fan. Have you checked out this yet? Because it is the newest free-to-play fantasy football game, introducing next-level fantasy football with Ultimate Fan, where fantasy football meets pack openings. Play that next level over there, open packs, collect cards, build your roster, and compete against football fans across the U.S. for a chance to win fantastic prizes in this free-to-play fantasy football game, Ultimate Fan. All you have to do is open virtual packs, collect player cards from across the NFL, and build your roster over the course of a season. Put your football knowledge to the test as you pick your weekly lineup to compete against football fans nationwide for the chance to win fantastic sets of prizes. And with the Ultimate Fan Plus subscription, you can take your Ultimate Fan experience to the next level. Play the game that's sweeping across the states, finding Ultimate Fan in the App Store and Google Play. Head over right now to fantasypros.com/ultimatefan. Again, that's fantasypros.com/ultimatefan. Start opening packs, start playing the Ultimate Fan experience. And now, back to the action. All right, let's go to your number two guy, Yates. Who's your number two waiver wire wide receiver for week six?
It's been really interesting. Up to this point of the season, we've talked about the wide receivers, and we've said, okay, you kind of put all these guys into a bucket. You put in numerous bids, and whichever one you get, you're kind of happy with. It's Kadarius Toney for me, and then there's a significant drop-off to Hunter Renfrow as my number two wide receiver on the week. And Renfrow, I think, is just one of these guys that is going to be steady Eddie for your fantasy football lineup in the flex. You know what you're going to get every single week. And he has the potential to find the end zone, but I just don't, you know, you're at least not going to get burned. Whereas with a lot of these other guys that you can go after and chase after, you could potentially get burned if you put them in your starting lineup. So just kind of leaning into the safety there with Hunter Renfrow. He's my number two on the week.
Yeah, Renfrow's up to 50% rostered already. So I'm actually surprised it's not higher by now. Bogman, how about for you? Who's your number two and how much fab would you spend on them?
Well, Tim Patrick is only 31% rostered on Yahoo, which is surprising to me. And, you know, it's not like the Steelers were out there dominating, but they were up big on Denver. And you saw in the comeback, they were almost exclusive to Sutton and Tim Patrick. Sutton and Tim Patrick. And the corners are bad in Pittsburgh, too. But I think we're going to see Denver in that scenario more than we have seen, them 3-1 up to the point before Pittsburgh playing some bad teams. So I think that Tim Patrick is probably going to be my number two. And I'm with Yates here, 10% somewhere in that neighborhood. Not a ton on wide receivers because there are a ton of options.
Well, I'll make it clear, too. I agree with Yates. I feel like Tony's on his own right now. And then after that, for me, it's still Rondell Moore, who is still out there. Who is still, and I know it's the frustrations here, he's 39% rostered, and I know the people that have rostered him are probably frustrated because they see the up and down, but it's only week six. We have to be patient with young
players.
And they're
drawing up specific plays for him.
Ding, ding, ding. Like that's exactly the point I was going to make. If you watched yesterday, you saw that there are certain games are going to be more friendly to him in terms of what they want to do against that defense and the game plan. And this was one of them against the 49ers. So I think there's that opportunity. I also think it's always better too when Hopkins is healthy and freed up. You know, the last couple of weeks we talked about Hopkins being hurt and then having Jalen Ramsey. That's a bad combination. This past weekend we saw Hopkins that we're used to seeing. And that's a good thing for everybody else because when Hopkins is running amok, it's one thing when you could shut Hopkins down one-on-one with a guy like Jalen Ramsey, or if he's not 100% and you put one corner on him, that's different. That allows you to tend to everybody else. When you have to start double teaming, all of a sudden, that's when you see Moore having those good games. That is not a coincidence, boys and girls. That is a fact. So I think Renfrow is another guy that you can certainly get in that 10% budget conversation with. Callaway, Bateman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, those are all other guys on there. Boggs, when you look at the rest of list of available wide receivers, who kind of jumps out to you that you think is also a solid add? And I would still add Callaway. I just want to point this out there. Even though he's got a bye next week. In fact, I think you pay less for him because he's got the bye. You might be able to sneak him in.
But, Michael Thomas potentially coming back and Traquan Smith potentially coming back off the pup. So Callaway does move a little lower down the list to me.
But you could probably get him for $3-4.
I mean, that
you can get him for that. Are you going to be able to use him, though? Like,
I don't know. You know what? Here's the thing. I mean, as these guys come back,
they might not come back right as soon as they're eligible, too.
But even if they come back, Michael Thomas on the field, once again, that's the guy you got to pay attention to in the offense. Right. If you're the defensive coordinator, you're like, well, there's Michael Thomas. You know, I saw this Callaway guy. Yeah, that's a great story.
Yeah, they
that's
don't get Michael to play Thomas. Washington every week. What happened to Washington?
Washington, my
I cannot wait for the IDP show when we start talking about Washington. That is going to be a must-hear podcast. So anyway, Boggs, when you're looking at the rest of these guys at wide receiver, do you have a ranking of 3, 4, 5 who you like after the first two? Do you have some guys that you think are useful that you might want to speculate on? How do you see the board?
Yeah, Renfrow's definitely, if he's not on there, he needs to be number three. I didn't even have him on my list because he's right around 50%. I just always look for guys lower than that. Amon-Ra St. Brown had a good game. Jameson Crowder, I think, is still hovering around 50% as well. Quintez Cephas has been pretty solid, and I do like Van Jefferson.
Yeah, Amon-Ra St. Brown, fascinating. 16 targets over the last two games, 8 in each. Very consistent. Again, lacks the upside, but in terms of
he's a guy I drafted everywhere and dropped, and now I'm probably going to spend fab money on. So
guilty as charged. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I had a lot of shares first 2 weeks. I'm like, I can't hold them right now. There's other things out there, and now I'm going, man, if I could only get 14 points in PPR. Oh look, there's Amon-Ra St. Brown, 4% rostered. Get him back on the team, Yates. With the rest of these guys out there, who's your 3, 4, 5, or is it just kind of a a smosh there of guys? Like, how do you look
smosh.
At it? Smosh. I just made up a word.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Amon-Ra St. Brown is currently at 3 for me. And this is because I was so high on Amon-Ra St. Brown coming into the year. For this very exact reason, Detroit is going to be playing from behind a ton. There is going to be opportunities, especially in full PPR formats, for Amon-Ra St. Brown to be a valuable flex week in and week out. Now, it took Detroit a little bit to figure out what they have here in St. Brown, but he has proven that he is a very, very reliable target. 16 targets, like you said, over the past 2 weeks, 13 receptions, 70 yards in week four, 65 in week five. Like, I will take that. Even in half PPR formats, I will gladly take that. And especially now that we know that Quintez Cephas, broken collarbone, potentially out for the season, if not multiple weeks. So I think that Amon-Ra St. Brown has to move up rankings where we at least consider him, because he's going to be one of the steady guys. And I've got him ranked above Rondale Moore because of that very fact, where I know what I'm going to get with Hunter Renfrow. I know what I'm going to get with Amon-Ra St. Brown. When am I going to feel comfortable playing Rondale Moore as anything more than a low-end flex play in deeper formats, right? Because he has the potential to do what he's done so far this year. Big blowout performances and then disappear the next 2 weeks. And then now he starts to come back as when we get to the point where, like, we can't play him. He's the Nyheim Hines of wide receivers. Like, this guy where we're like, okay, I finally feel like I'm confident in Nyheim Hines and what he's doing. Oh, no, you got negative points this past week. You know, yeah. It's like that's what we're getting with Rondale Moore. So he's a little bit further down. I will let someone else potentially deal with those just headaches of rostering Rondale Moore in this offense. I will go with guys that I know what the target volume is going to be with Hunter Renfrow and Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I guess I was too busy crying about Juju. I didn't see Cephas had the busted collarbone. Let me ask you this, Yates. More receptions for the rest of the year, Amon-Ra St. Brown or TJ Hockenson?
More receptions? I think I'll go Amon-Ra St. Brown. And this is why,
I agree.
This is why coming into the year, I was lower on DeAndre Swift. I was lower on TJ Hockenson than consensus, was because of this very fact. When I was doing projections, I was going through in the target share, I was allocating a significant amount to Amon-Ra St. Brown because of his talent level and because of the role that he'll fill in the offense. Now,
he's the only one that stayed healthy throughout offseason, too, working with Goff.
Mm-hmm, it's made me look foolish through the first 3 weeks of the season where I was fading DeAndre Swift and TJ Hockenson, but now we're starting to see him emerge as a viable receiving option, and it's starting to hurt TJ Hockenson. And DeAndre Swift's been fine. Like, I missed on that one and he's been great, but like, TJ Hockenson, I have concerns about moving forward just because he's going to stay asked to stay in a block. His health has been an issue. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, I think, has the potential to find more receptions by the end of the year.
And working out of the slot, I really don't think, even if Tyra Williams comes back and plays healthy, that makes a difference.
Right, St. Brown's role is locked in.
St. Brown's role is locked in. So, yeah, to me, I'm good. I'm good with Amon-Ra St. Brown. And just for S's and G's, boys, you'll find this fun. He is 4% rostered right now across all the different formats and all the different leagues, right?
It was 15% last week and 25% the week before, and it's just been a steady decline until this week.
But you know who's 32% rostered? Josh Gordon. Just want to put that out there.
Right.
Josh Gordon's 32% roster.
He had 9 snaps. So.
One for every dollar you spent on him. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Air Medcare Network. Now, we've talked about Air Medcare Network before. In a medical emergency, AMCN can get you to a hospital fast. And since there are no out-of-pocket expenses for anyone in your household when flown by an AMCN provider, your finances are protected too. AMCN is a brilliant play, and here's your next call. Complete your coverage by adding Fly You Home to your membership. Here's how Fly You Home works. Imagine you're hospitalized far away from home. Who wants to be in a strange place with strangers taking care of you? Nobody. With Fly You Home, you can make the call to be transported back to your local hospital, closer to your own doctor and family. Fly You Home takes care of absolutely everything from hospital A to hospital B. No bills, no paperwork. It's a smart way to reduce stress and put control back to you in your care, in your hands. Here's how you do it. You go over for Fantasy Pros listeners, sign up for Fly You Home today and receive up to $100 e-gift card. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/pros and use the offer code PROS, AMCN, and Fly You Home. It's a lineup that can't be beat. And now, back to the action. All right. Is there anybody else, Yates? I know we talked about Bateman a lot last week. Is there anybody else still floating around that waiver wire wide receiver you want to just kind of bring to light and highlight one more time?
Yeah, Mecole Hardman's at 5 for me. He was at 3, but with the news that Tyreek Hill is not expected to miss time, then Hardman just kind of moves back into this guy that you can roster at the bottom of your bench, but I'm not expecting what we saw here on Sunday Night Football. The Chiefs were playing from behind for literally that entire game. I don't think that that's going to happen moving forward often. And they get Washington this next week. And then Rashad Bateman is at six. I don't know if he's going to play tonight on Monday Night Football. Okay.
No.
So I think that he's still someone that you can add. Maybe, you know, you scoop him up on Thursday or Friday or something like that, or even before game time, because he's still probably going to be there on waivers. People are not thinking about him, but I think that he's going to return sooner than later, and he's going to fill a valuable role for the offense.
All right, Boggs, there's still guys out there like Crowder, Pascal, T.Y. Hilton, Curtis Samuel floating around. Any of these guys move the needle for you at all?
I mean, Samuel does. Obviously, he's constantly hurt, so that's been a big issue for him. But if he gets healthy, I do like him more than anybody else you just mentioned. But I'd throw a buck on Chris Moore and just see what's going on in Houston.
That catch was unreal.
It was.
Yeah. And I know, you know, it's Belichick's MO. You take away the best thing. They took away Brandon Cook, so you had to throw to Moore. But Davis Mills made it work, and they cut Anthony Miller, and they probably have a lot of rapport together working with the second 13 offense. So I kind of like Moore. And what's to say that they don't just give Davis Mills the key to the car here after this good performance against New England and say, let's figure out if he's anything. Let's just give him the rest of this year, and if he sucks, we'll be drafting first, and we'll take anyone but Spencer Rattler. So, you know, I think they could do that. And if Chris Moore is his guy, then Chris Moore is his guy moving forward. So I'd throw a buck just to see.
You made a great point there about, you know, that release of Anthony Miller. It's clear there's something seeing for the team out there, seeing in him that they felt comfortable moving on from Anthony Miller. And let's see what else some of these other guys have in the tank. And certainly eye-opening. There's no doubt about that. And you make the good point, too. And you have that rapport, the guys who are playing backups together. They get a lot more reps together, a lot more feel for the game. That does translate onto the field in real game action. It always has. It always will. It's just part of football. But fascinating to see, that's for sure. And Houston Texans, an enigma. Poor Tyrod Taylor, by the way. I mean, could you imagine that he loses his job to Davis Mills? I mean, it's one thing to lose your job.
Straight up retire. You're done.
Yeah, there might be a job opening in Pittsburgh next year.
Might. Speaking of Pittsburgh, let's talk about the quarterbacks here, and let's talk about the streaming quarterbacks. And you got guys like Geno Smith out there. Obviously, for the people who lost Russell Wilson this week, there's better names. There's Daniel Jones potentially missing time if you're in a deeper league. But, you know, I look at all the matchups and the guys that are available, and I know you're going to laugh, Boggs, but Ben Roethlisberger against the Seahawks, I don't know, it's just a matchup play.
I said it on ITL yesterday. Yeah,
I think I'm okay with it. I'm really okay with it.
It's not like I like Ben Roethlisberger, but I do really like, you know, I do really, really like the Seattle defense and how terrible it is. Ben Roethlisberger has been throwing the ball, and the line looked good. He only got hit twice, sacked once yesterday. So the line is gelling a little bit more as we move throughout the years. First Najee 100-yard game on the ground. So, you know, I'm excited about what the Steelers can do. And, you know, it's Geno time in Seattle. So
this is Sunday Night Football.
Yeah. It is.
This is Geno Smith versus Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, but you know what, Yates? You know,
when
July,
do they start flexing?
This looked awesome on paper.
It's later on in the
season. I think it's week 10 or something. They should start that earlier.
They should start that sooner.
Yeah, they should. Like this week. I would love to have this game in the morning and just get it over with and not have to wait for it all day. But
well, you know, in July, that looked great. Oh, you got the Steelers. You got to have Russell Wilson.
Dude, I almost bought tickets to that game, too. So
avoided that.
Sure.
You know, real quick, I do want to get your thoughts on Geno Smith. You know, let's just throw it out there from that Superflex standpoint. I mean, I know you had a little sample size that, you know, was, you know, tantalizing a little bit. He did a couple things well there. I've seen enough Geno Smith, having lived in the New York area for most of my life, to already kind of have a pretty solid idea what Geno Smith is. However, you know, what do you do right now? How would you pivot if you were the person who lost Russell Wilson this week in a super flex box?
Geno isn't bad. I think that he's definitely an option. And just, you know, to pull the curtain back, I thought Geno was going to be the man coming out of West Virginia. I just saw him go in and torch my Longhorns. I think it was the year or two after West Virginia joined the Big 12. And I was like, this dude's going to win the Heisman. He can run. He can pass. He's amazing. Obviously, never worked out. One of those that you miss on, like Josh Rosen. But, yeah, I mean, who are your options here? Yeah, Trey Lance is on a bye.
Well, it's Davis Mills. It's that. I mean,
Davis Mills, Teddy Bridgewater, Heinicke, who looked good and bad. You can go and pick up Tyrod and hope he comes back. I mean, the options aren't great. So I think Geno's probably the dude if you're the Russell Wilson owner. And Roethlisberger's in there as well. You might want to pick up Big Ben.
All right, Yates, when it comes to a streaming quarterback for this week, who's the name that you have at the top?
Heineke's at the top of the list for me. I know that it wasn't pretty from a statistical standpoint this past week. Wasn't expecting it to be up against New Orleans. He's a streaming quarterback. And so up against New Orleans, that was a match where you just say, no, I'll let someone else deal with that. But he goes up against Kansas City this week. And you're going to have them playing from behind because their defense sucks. And then Kansas City's defense sucks. So this is going to be, points are going to go up on the board. And we've seen, the Chiefs gave up 387 passing yards to Jalen Hurts. Taylor Heineke can do enough to be a streaming option for you. So he's where I'm going in one QB formats. You talked about Superflex and where I'm going with Geno Smith. I think that he's a low-end QB2, high-end QB3 this week. I think that that's where you can value him. The matchup up against Pittsburgh has been fine for opposing wide receivers, opposing quarterbacks. The ground game has been where they've been pretty tough. So I think that you'll see Geno Smith do enough to not hurt your lineup, but I don't think that he has like top 12 upside or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't.
And I'm not going near Ben. I can't do it. I know that
it's Seattle.
I know, but I'm not doing it.
You know, since 2017, Ryan Shazier has more interceptions than Jamal Adams.
I saw that stat. I saw that on Twitter.
Two first round picks. Yeah, not even theirs.
Different style of play.
Of course.
I like Adams, but
Shazier's a linebacker.
Yeah, so. I understand. All right, let's continue on here. Let's go to the tight end position. Last week, the number one guy was the same number one guy as the week before. It was Dawson Knox. And Dawson Knox 2 weeks ago scored 2 touchdowns. And last night, 3 catches for 117, another touchdown. If he's still out there in your league, I don't know what you guys are paying attention to. I can't imagine why. Because the fact that he was even out there last week and we had to tell everybody again to go pick him up, we're not going to do it anymore. It's over. It's done. We have to find somebody else. Yates, who are you finding out there at the tight end position to pick up this week?
Hunter Henry. For some reason, Jonnu Smith is not being used in this offense. They paid him $50 million to be a blocking tight end, I guess. I don't know. So it doesn't make any sense. But Hunter Henry was actually valuable for fantasy purposes last week. Now, it was a plus matchup. We talked about Hunter Henry as a streaming option. I think I had him at like tight end 13 on the week. It was like, you can play Hunter Henry this week. And I think that he's at the top of the list just based on the opportunity. He's on the field, which Jonnu Smith is not really. And he's running routes, which Jonnu Smith is not really doing. So Hunter Henry is a guy that you definitely can look at, but I'm talking about bare minimum ad. Like, if you are desperate at tight end, you can look his way. I'm not expecting a ton.
Well, there's a couple teams in your league right now that are desperate for tight end. Either they've had somebody who's not played well, or they've got somebody that's injured right now. No Gronk, no Kittle, right?
Hockenson's been bad.
Hockenson's been banged up, and he has not been good in the last couple weeks on top of the injury.
Goddard's been terrible. Yeah.
Hey, look, last 2 weeks for Hunter Henry, was he at 10 receptions on 13 targets. He's got 2 touchdowns. And I'm with you, Yates. I am probably not quite as sad as you are about the Jonnu Smith development or lack thereof, but it's puzzling. Why do you aggressively go after this guy? Why do you pay him all this money if he's just going to be this, I don't know.
And we've seen multiple tight ends work, so they both should be able to work. Right.
Yeah, but that's not the formation that works for Mac Jones. He is not comfortable in that 12 personnel. He is comfortable with everybody spread out because that's the way they do it in Alabama. And you know what? That you have to do what's comfortable for the quarterback. And unfortunately, that kind of personnel just has not been Mac Jones' strong point so far. When they have it out there on the field and they start spreading it out, all of a sudden it's a little better. But Hunter Henry's that guy for me. I think he's worth like a $6 bid or something right. Like that. Maybe 8 if you're really desperate for tight end in a deeper league. Maybe 9 if you want to push it. Boggs, how about for you? Is there a streaming tight end that you like this week or maybe more than one?
Well, I don't think, he's going to have this type of game ever again this season, but David Njoku was pretty good, and it's just clearly Baker Mayfield's. He likes him better than OBJ. We can say that, I think, so definitively weird. At this point. How does Baker Mayfield put up 305 passing yards, and what did Beckham get, 35 or 40?
2 for 20, I think.
2 for 20. Just pathetic. I don't know what's happening there. And it looked, 2 weeks ago, it looked like, all right, they've worked this out. Jarvis Landry right. is hurt, and he went to Beckham a bunch and all that stuff. But, when push hits shove, he doesn't go to him. 305 yards and half of them were to David Njoku. So Hooper is also, Hooper is like Jonnu Smith. They paid him a ton of money and he's not catching the ball. So Njoku is a pretty decent one. And I know this is weird.
No, I know where you're going. Can I say it?
Sure.
Dan Arnold?
Yes. Arnold.
That's exactly where I'm
getting traded to Jacksonville and coming in and having an immediate impact. Now, of course, annoyingly, Jacob Hollister is the guy that catches
gets the touchdown.
Right. Because they're still working all of them out. I mean, how did Tavon Austin have more targets than LaVisca, by the way? LaVisca catches one ball, goes 52 yards. Urban Meyer should be fired. I don't care what he did off the field. He should be fired for what he's putting out on the field. Mm-hmm. But anyway. Yeah, Dan Arnold has come in and made an immediate impact, and how can we not see that just getting bigger as the season moves on, especially with Chark down? So and I think Arnold is a decent pickup.
Boggs, Lawrence is still a rookie quarterback, and rookie quarterbacks still like to, and on occasion, just be comfortable.
Safety blanket.
Check down to the tight end a little bit. I mean, that's just historically what we see, and Trevor Lawrence shouldn't be any different. It should be something we can absolutely look to again. And I'm glad you brought him up, because he was going to be the next guy I bring up to talk about, and I'm glad that it seems like we all feel the same way. This is another guy, too. If you want to put in, let's say, a $6 bid for Hunter Henry, but, you know, you don't want to go crazy for Hunter Henry, throwing $3 or $2 on Dan Arnold will probably get it done. I mean, 3% rostered right now. I don't think people are even thinking about him, Yates. What are your thoughts on Arnold?
Arnold's at number two for me at the tight end position this week. I mean, you can't argue with eight targets. I think that at the tight end position, so many people will in fantasy football will chase after the production. They'll chase after yards. They'll chase after touchdowns. CJ Uzama being a like key example. I know that people in fantasy football leagues last week added CJ Uzama based on what he did on Thursday Night Football, and it didn't pan out. So I think now what you have to chase is the volume. You have to chase the opportunity and the roles in the offense. And there is absolutely a role in this Jacksonville Jaguars offense for Dan Arnold to continue seeing eight targets like he did this past week. Now, yeah, the touchdown didn't go his way, but I don't care. I will gladly take 6 for 64 from my tight end.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I will gladly take that. So yeah, I think Dan Arnold, like you mentioned, the role can only grow moving forward. Now, the only concern is he's got Miami next week, which is a fine matchup. I'm not, you know, not talking about that, but then bye week in week seven. So it's like, are you going to add Dan Arnold for 1 week and then have to play this streaming? You know, you're not going to hold on to Dan Arnold through his bye week.
And Arnold might
does,
be a guy
so.
That you can get for $0 though, right? Yates, like you just add him after waivers maybe. Clear and then dump him.
Yeah.
So yeah, now, I'm super bummed Max Williams got hurt because he definitely would have been high on that list because he was carving out a role, but out for the year.
Before we move on from tight ends, Boggs, tell the truth. How much were you smiling inside with that Tommy Tremble touchdown? Come on.
I
can't believe
Tommy
I didn't get
Tremble.
A text from you after I was waiting. I saw the touchdown. I'm like, 3, 2, 1.
Dude, after
like,
the Red
no
River
text.
Shootout, dude, I was not. I was bummed.
I know. You were in a bad place. And that's the only reason I didn't talk to you yesterday. I think it was because like I was like, I'm going to give Boggs some space today. Because I came home in between coaching games and I was watching and Texas was up. And then I came back at 6 o'clock and they had lost. I said, what happened? I have no idea. I had to go catch up on it. All right, let's move on. I don't want to make Box depressing. Let's talk about our top five waiver wire ads of the week. I'll start with mine. Kadarius Toney's number one for me. I've made that clear. If I'm going to empty the tank, if I'm going to be aggressive, it's going to be for somebody potentially. It's going to help me the rest of the year. And I just don't know if these other running backs are or how that usage is going to be. I mean, I thought Damian Williams would be just that guy. And all of a sudden, Khalil Herbert starts getting carries too. Like, I want all the carries, even the sloppy ones at the end of the game, if I'm going to pick up a backup guy. So Tony's one for me. Daryl Williams is two. He's still a strong investment in my world. Rondell Moore's three. Devontae Booker is four. And Hunter Henry is five. Yates, who are your top five waiver wire pickups this week?
Talked about how aggressive I am willing to be with Daryl Williams. So he is number one for me by a mile. Then Devontae Booker at number two. Again, we need running backs. And then number three is Kadarius Toney. I talked about my concerns. They're not as aggressive as Joe. Do think that he is still obviously worth an ad. And then Ramondre Stevenson currently at four, just a placeholder and until we get more clarity on Damian Harris and his availability for this next week. And then I've got Hunter Renfrow at five. Amon-Ra St. Brown at six. If Ramondre Stevenson moves out because Damian Harris is playing, then Amon-Ra St. Brown moves up into the top five.
Bogman, week six, your top five waiver wire ads.
I think I have the same top three here. Damian Williams, Devontae Booker, and Kadarius Toney are just by far the top three guys. And then after that, go ahead.
Literally, Ian Rappaport, Patriots running back Damian Harris checked out okay after yesterday's game. He is described as day-to-day. So my top five, Joe, thank you so much for asking, is is Hunter Renfrow at four, and then Amon-Ra St. Brown at five.
Oh, there you go.
For me, I'm after the top three guys, you know, the Williams, the Williams, Booker, and Toney, I'm going to go with two other running backs, too, just because I think they are more valuable and potential trade chips. I would slap some fab on Jerick McKinnon, and I'd slap some on Khalil Herbert as well, just to see what they do this week. And maybe they have carve out a role. You know, Darrell Williams is safe right now, but if McKinnon makes some big plays, they could go to McKinnon more. And the same deal with Herbert. It's Matt Nagy, so you just never know. So I think that that's what I do. I just emphasize heavily on RBs because you can probably get, I think you can get better if they play good this week. You can get better than what's on the wire for them in a trade the following week. So that's why I would spend on those RBs.
All right. Streaming defense of the week for me, it's the Cincinnati Bengals. Bogman, our darling of last week, we talked about. They held the Packers in regulation to just 22 points. I mean, Mason Crosby certainly helped.
It's like, will someone win this game, please? Oh,
yeah, but you know what? I mean, this is what we talked about on the IDP show. And for those of you wondering where that show is that Bachman and I host, you have to be a member in order to hear that show. So if you haven't already, upgrade and make sure you can check out that show with Bachman and myself every Wednesday. But Boggs, you know, that they play well. They don't have star power. They have Bates. You have Von Bell, we've talked about, playing well. You've had them playing good as a unit, and it's really shown. And even against, you know, I know they gave up a ton of yards to Devontae Adams, but it's very hard to stop. But it's like that bend, don't break kind of thing. And they're going against Detroit, and Jared Goff makes plenty of mistakes. We all know that. I think Cincinnati, even though it's on the road at Detroit, is a viable streaming option this week. Who is your streaming defense of the week?
I think against Detroit is a very, very good one. Just whoever against Detroit. But how about the Denver Broncos against the Raiders? The last couple of weeks, Derek Carr has reverted back to, I don't want to get hit, Derek Carr. And, you know, Joey Bosa talked about it. He's kind of folding up like origami, just a little pressure, and he goes down. So going into the Pittsburgh game, Denver had the number one pressure rate in the NFL. And I think they will jack that up again against a bad O-line against Vegas. I'll go with the Broncos for next week.
Yates, who's your streaming D of the week?
It is Cincinnati for me, for a lot of the reasons you talked about. They're playing well as a unit. You know, they held the Packers offense in check. They, of course, gave up some points, but they kept them in check. That's a powerful offense. And then they're going up against Detroit and Jared Goff. You play the streaming defense that's going up against Jared Goff because he's good for either a fumble or an interception. So, yeah, I'll go Cincinnati there.
Yates, give me a kicker to stream this week. Oh, we love kickers. We all love kickers. How about anybody who can kick it through the uprights?
Right.
How about that guy?
Yeah, give me that guy. So many extra or missed extra points and field goals.
Oh, my favorite was the kid in Cincinnati who was celebrating.
Evan McPherson.
Evan McPherson thought that he had it. And
oh, it hit
did
the
not.
Flag or whatever it did yep. at the top. And I was just like, oh, that poor kid, that is embarrassing.
Yep. somehow Brandon McManus is available on the majority of waiver wires. So, I mean, that's a pretty easy one. It's Brandon McManus. He's still one of the most consistent kickers. So I will go with McManus.
That was me at home, too, especially if you get bonuses for long field goals. That was the guy I was thinking about against Vegas. How about you, Boggs? Is there a kicker to stream this week?
Pass. No, thanks.
Nice. Well done.
I'm not do any of that.
All right, let's play a little game here before we close things out. We're going to talk about some guys on the roster bubble. If we're going to keep or drop them, this is using CBS roster percentage because that's a place where there's a lot of leagues that are paying for the service, which means people are taking it much more seriously than some other places. So Jarvis Landry, 65% roster percentage. I know this is, you know, it's a big name player, but Boggs, at the current climate, what's going on out there? Let's say the Tonys are out there, Rondell Moore's out there, these kind of guys. Would you be dropping Jarvis Landry?
Nope. Okay. Jarvis Landry stays on my team until he's dead.
All right. How about you, Yates? Are you dropping or keeping Jarvis Landry?
I will keep Jarvis Landry.
All right. So everybody, because I get a lot of questions. Is it time to drop him and move on?
It's understandable, but I mean, with OBJ making no progression with Baker Mayfield, as soon as Jarvis comes back, he's the number one again. So
you know what? I can't say I'm not surprised about the whole Odell Beckham thing. Like, it just, I don't know, man. You know, Pat last night on the show actually made an interesting comparison to Kadarius Toney and his rookie, you know, what he did last night to the early Odell Beckham. It was just like, oh my goodness, it just opened our eyes. I thought it was a really, really good comparison there. And my goodness, if he has anything like that in the tank, that's going to be very exciting. Ronald Jones, 60% roster. Ronald Jones again. Lenny Fournette, playoff Lenny Boggs, looking good. Yates, what do you think about Ronald Jones? Is it time to drop him or keep him?
Jones is an insurance running back at this point, nothing more. Even if he gets the job, I think that he's going to be splitting it with Giovanni Bernard if something were to happen to Leonard Fournette. So Jones is a drop. If you can get someone, you know, I'm dropping him for a Darrell Williams, for a Devontae Booker, someone who can contribute to my roster, absolutely dropping Ronald Jones.
Bog, same for you?
Cut him, he's dead. It's all Lenny time. Let's go.
Yeah, playoff Lenny. Robert Tonyan, 57% roster.
Drop him. Get him out of here.
Everybody?
Get him.
Same.
I mean, Erickson's been on that before anybody. Erickson was in there week two talking about drop this guy, enough already. And we were, I think a lot of people saying, but what about last year? Now, Will Fuller, Bogman, 52% rostered. Keep him.
I can't do it. I can't. Will Fuller's my guy. He pops off for enormous weeks. So I just can't do it quite yet.
Doesn't he have to play? Like, at some point, does he have to play?
It's a between finger the suspension, injury. He'll be back.
The injuries. I know we keep saying he'll be back, but this is like...
Okay, but what are you going to drop him for? If it's Kadarius Toney, fine. I
would drop him for Renfro.
I'm not going to do that.
I think I'd drop him for Renfro, and I think Yates would too. I see him bobbing his head. Would you drop him for Renfro?
Yeah, and it depends on what you need. If you're needing some upside, then you can hold on to Will Fuller. But if you need that, I mean, what is upside getting you at this point? If you're 1-4 or 2-3 or whatever, you need some wins. Will Fuller is not getting you that at this point, so he's not even playing. So yeah, I'll go with Renfro or Amon-Ra St. Brown. I would drop him.
All right, last one, because I'm a jerk. 50% rostered is Josh Gordon in CBS leagues. Would you drop him?
Yes.
Yeah. Never should have been picked up in the first place.
You shouldn't have picked him up. Right.
Good times. Good times. All right. Make sure you check out all the great content over at Fantasy Pros. We've got all the waiver wire articles you could possibly imagine. We got a live stream about the waiver wire happening tomorrow. So subscribe to the YouTube channel and click that notifications button. That way, you know when it's all going down. I think that's 1 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, if memory serves. And in the meantime, also make sure you go over and check out my playbook over on fantasypros.com. You can use the cheat sheets for free. Use your favorite experts to help guide your additions to your teams. And the waiver assistant, if you pay up for that and get the IDP show, you can get the waiver assistant too while you're at it. Over at my playbook, it shows you the available players, how they will improve your team, which pickups to make, and which pickups might actually help some of your opponents too. And maybe you want to be on top of that as well. So we've got you covered in all of your leagues here at Fantasy Pros. I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Air Med Care Network. Head over to airmedcarenetwork.com/pros and go ahead and upgrade your coverage to the Fly You Home coverage. Also, Manscaped, 20% off and free shipping with the promo code Yates. Also, don't forget about Ultimate Fan, fantasypros.com/ultimatefan, where you can open packs and start playing fantasy in a whole new way. Great show as always, boys. It's always fun to hang out with you and talk. Hopefully, everybody breaks their banks today. Look at us. We were very reserved, I feel like, for the first 5 weeks of the season or so. It's week 6. We're getting real close now to that point where it's time to make it rain. Let's go. Let's break the bank. And we'll see when we come back in a couple weeks. Actually, we'll see next week how these guys all perform and who makes it out alive. I just want everybody to get back here healthy to the show. That's all I'm like. Can we please get some teams healthy? That's what I want to do. All right. That'll do it for us. But the story of the game goes on. For Kyle Yates and Scott Bogman, I'm Joey P. We will see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.